music of Joseph Horowitz, we heard the Concertino Classico featuring Jens Lindemann as the trumpet soloist with the Canadian Staff Band. A wonderful, invigorating piece of music to get us started this hour on Classical WMUK 89.9 FM and online at WMUK.org. And as promised earlier this hour, I mentioned that tomorrow night the Brass Band of Battle Creek will release a concert called Joyous Noise, a concert for our times. And on the line here with me on Classical WMUK, we have the executive director of the Brass Band of Battle Creek, Shannon Akins. And we have one of the soloists featured in the concert release tomorrow night, Jens Lindemann, who we just heard in that wonderful, wonderful piece by Mr. Horowitz. Jens and Shannon, hello to you. Are you on the line? Just making sure.
Hello.
I'm here from California. It's 7 a.m., but I'm up, I'm awake, I'm ready to talk to Michigan and the world.
Do you have enough caffeine to get through this interview?
There is no such thing as enough caffeine at 7 a.m.
Well, it's delightful to talk to you here at 10:18 a.m. here in Michigan.
Thanks for rubbing it in. This interview is not going well already.
Shannon, let me start with you as the executive director of a musical organization. You and many other people like you who present concerts throughout the year have been faced with some completely unprecedented circumstances, how to keep making music and keep bringing it to people. Tell us a little about the background on this concert and what some of the decisions were that went into it.
Sure. Thank you very much, and thanks for having us today. You're right. We are one of many organizations who try to figure out going forward in the situation we're in right now. And, of course, as you probably know, we canceled our spring concert, first time in 30-year history of the band that we had to do that, because we certainly couldn't safely bring people together. So we really had to start thinking about ways that we could continue to operate. I think right now, if you're not able to think outside the box, you're in kind of some trouble. So this concert kind of came about because I had heard of the need for some joy in our community as everybody struggles through this situation. So I talked to the founders of the Brass Band of Battle Creek, Jim and Bill Gray, about what can we do to bring some joy to people who are missing the Brass Band of Battle Creek and any kind of entertainment, live entertainment. And it took just a couple seconds to realize that we could do this. So we called up some of our musicians, and they said, absolutely, this is a community event. We want to do it. So we brought the musicians in to W.K. Kellogg Auditorium, and we did so with all of the proper COVID guidelines. We temp checked every day. We did the questionnaires, and we socially distanced the musicians on stage, and you will see tomorrow night kind of a different look to the auditorium, obviously with no audience. But I have to say that the musicians really put their heart and soul into this. So I'm so happy and so thrilled for everybody to see this performance.
It starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow, and you can see it on the Brass Band of Battle Creek's YouTube page, and it's free to anyone who wants to tune in. I've seen a clip or
two.
It looks like the musicians had a really, really good time. Jens, you have learned a lot about making music since you've been doing it for many years now. As a soloist and an ensemble performer, as with the Canadian Brass. In a situation like this, what is it that your career has taught you, that your musicianship has taught you, that still applies even when you can't be together with a crowd? What do you bring to the stage when you are missing that vital connection with a live crowd?
That's a really good question. The best answer for that actually in my opinion, has to do with the symbiotic relationship between musicians and their audiences, an inherent need for artists to perform and to distract people from their everyday lives. And when I mean distraction, I mean ideally an enhancement of what's going on in their lives. This is what we're hardwired to do. And the great thing about a group like Brass Band Battle Creek in particular is it's also a symbiotic relationship between a core group of fantastic local players and those of us who regularly and for many, many years, decades in some cases, come back nearly religiously twice a year to work with the band and play with the band and literally become ensconced in the community. So to that end, when this concept came up to do a live concert on stage, socially distanced, etc., the interesting part about it is that the idea itself was actually driven by the community. The community had so missed the regularity of what we give them twice a year in the spring, for instance, that this was the buzz that was coming back to us. How can we do something to not only to be relevant in the community again, but how can we share what it is that we normally do? So the beauty of all of this is that it came from both sides, and as a result, it was a very creative effort in trying to make this certainly it was spontaneous, and we can talk about the recording and such in a minute, but we had the best part about that is that is exactly what the audience will feel. They will feel the spontaneousness watching us and listening to us because we had to put this together in a very short period of time, and that's the energy we're trying to bring people, that true message of hope.
That still exists on stage when you're playing together and your enjoyment of playing and each other still is very vivid and captured on film in this case.
Yes, well, there's a lot. Let's just say hope rings eternal, not only for the viewer, but also for us on stage. We hoped we could do it in a day, and it turned out that we did. And that, of course, all kidding aside, has to do with the incredible amount of trust and respect that we have for each other as individual professionals. And when you approach a performance that way, you are literally there to support each other. And that's what the audience feels. And the musicians, every single one of them, world-class artists. And you have to remember, one of the reasons you're going to feel excitement watching that is because none of us have been together. Many people have literally not played on stage since this pandemic began. So the opportunity just to be together with your fellow artists and your friends and making music, it was electrifying. It was such a joy and a reminder that we should never, ever take these moments for granted. And since I'm an optimist by nature, in many ways, I think this enhances everything that Brass Band of Battle Creek does, because as I said, it's a reminder that we are in this to literally have this relationship with one another, both musicians and audience.
Just a reminder that I'm speaking with Jens Lindemann, who is the soloist in one of the soloists brought together by the Brass Band of Battle Creek in a concert called Joyous Noise, a concert for our times, which goes live at 7 p.m. on the Brass Band of Battle Creek's YouTube channel. You can also find a link at bbbc.net, the website for the Brass Band of Battle Creek. Would you, Jens, introduce us to some of the other players on this concert?
Oh, with great delight. First of all, because I'm incredibly biased as a treble player, I'd like to mention the other treble player in the group, Richard Kelly, who is quite simply a genius. He is a player of the highest order. He's a fantastic singer, as you're going to hear. Rich literally is one of those sick people that will look at a piece of music once and have it memorized. He has photographic memory. We basically hate him from afar. That's how I feel about Richard Kelly, and I really hope he's listening to this. On horn, we have the horn professor at Michigan. Is it Michigan State or University of Michigan? Somebody's going to shoot me for that. It's University of Michigan.
Yes, it's Chris.
Please note that I acknowledge both institutions, okay? And that's Adam Unsworth, who also a world-class French horn player with the rare ability to play both classical and jazz and pop style. That's extraordinarily unusual for a world-class French horn player, mainly because there's so much classical rep for their instrument that they don't really have to step outside
the
line.
They never run out.
No, I know. I hate them for all that body of repertoire, too. Basically, I hate everybody in the band, so I'm glad you're letting me talk about them. On tuba, we had William Russell, who was one of the great up-and-coming young guns on the instrument, plays classically, fantastically. And then when you hear him play New Orleans-style stomp, it is amazing. And the best part about William is that I think he shaves, every 4 days? He's that young. So I hate him, too. And then the last brass player I want to talk about, Wycliffe Gordon. Quite simply, the world's greatest jazz trombone player, period, end stop. Voted as such by Downbeat Magazine and every major jazz educator journal. And I'm going to describe Wycliffe this way. He's not even a musician. Wycliffe is a force of nature. It has to be seen to be believed. And so I think I'll just leave Wycliffe at that. Everything he does speaks for itself. And so you can imagine and hopefully hear the enthusiasm in my voice getting together on stage with these amazing brass players and creating this concert. And then lastly, I want to talk about the extraordinary rhythm section that we used. We did a couple of things just with the quintet, and all the rhythm section players are from Battle Creek, area in Michigan, of course, in particular. And these are world-class players. It is such a treat to come from all the places that we did, land in Michigan, little old Battle Creek, which you got to find on the Google, and all of a sudden you're surrounded by players who could be playing on concert stages anywhere. Mm. So, again, I hope you can feel from my enthusiasm that the personnel alone was quite stunning.
Your rhythm section is Keith Hall on drums and Terry Lauer on keys, and we are huge fans of their talents at WMUK here in Kalamazoo as well. And we know that, world-class rhythm section and the brass lineup just sounds so stunning. I could not have encapsulated their talent as you did, Jens. It would have been much more
well,
stuffy.
Let me tell you, one of our big pieces on this show is Terry Lauer's arrangement of the great tune "It Don't Mean a Thing," and it is the Terry Lauer show. We're just all trying to hang on for the ride. A fantastic arrangement. So really exciting, great players to play with, and of course Ray Teeny on bass. He has one of the greatest names ever, Ray Teeny. I wish I had that name. It's just so cool.
Shannon, would you describe how, with COVID rules in place, you got all of these folks from various parts of the world to Battle Creek and some of the logistics?
Sure. We had a couple who actually did fly in. Jens and Wycliffe actually flew into Detroit and then made their way from there. Rich Kelly actually rented a car and drove in, and that's what he was comfortable with. So that's exactly what we provided for him. And I have to tell you that I know when we contacted Wycliffe about playing, he said yes. I mean, there was not a question about safety or whatever when we told him it was a community event and it was to bring joy to our community and our audiences. He right away said yes. So like I said, we followed all the measures. We wore masks when we had to. Like I said, we social distanced the musicians on stage. We took all of the guidelines as they were coming in. We stayed in the building. So, we had the production team there. We had our own sound engineer there. So, like I said, we were able to do this, I think, in the very safest way. And just to reiterate what Jens said, when you see a result of this, of bringing these musicians together and really seeing each other and being together for the first time in many months, it is an incredible experience. And I can't wait for everybody to see the performance.
How many camera operators and sound engineers behind the scenes worked on this and to make it a beautiful concert to watch tomorrow night at 7 o'clock?
Oh, I want to say probably 8 or 9 between the cameramen, wow. The guys running the video cameras, the sound engineer, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, it felt like, this tight little group, but I have to say Ingalls Pictures did a great job of putting this together. I've seen just a little bit of a preview of the performance, and I think that people are really going to find some joy in this performance.
And when Shannon says a tight little group, she means that figuratively, of course, because everybody was so far apart. It was also a very interesting experience.
Yeah.
If I could just augment to what you just said, Shannon, the other really fantastic fantastic thing for the musicians themselves, because we were so far apart and we were very, very vigilant and respectful of the fact that these were not only the rules, this is the new normal for the moment. But what was interesting musically is that because you're so far apart, not used to being, you know, literally beside each other where we've been our entire careers, everybody had to play in a much more soloistic manner. In other words, if you had something to say, you had to play it in a manner that literally translated, not just musically, but distance-wise to your next, your fellow musician. And there's a certain liberty in that, that a liberating quality of being able to make art that way that also translates in the final performance. So it's actually a really, really good thing to do in many ways.
That's fascinating. I was speaking to a violinist who was talking about wearing masks and performing in a distanced way with a string quartet. And he said the mask isn't too bad to wear as he plays, but he was surprised at how much the mask covers up expressions, and that he was surprised to realize how much he used expression of other players to take cues from. And I'm wondering if you were also kind of, because you were distanced, you also used visual in order to, you know, play off each other in a musical way.
That's a very good question. The answer is yes. The first thing that happens is that there's a lot more movement that takes place, physical movement. I'm a big proponent of that anyway, because much of my career as a soloist, and certainly when I was touring with Canadian Brass, was based on being seated and standing and then having actual choreographed movement on stage. Now, if you ever watch a string quartet play, they can't stop moving. I mean, it's a pretty amazing thing to watch. They also probably hate masks at rehearsals, because if you've ever seen a quartet rehearse, they love to yell at each other. We can't do that because we have mouthpieces right. in our faces. So we literally, okay, yeah, right. You saw where that was going. But what we don't do enough of that string players do, they use so much body movement when they're being expressive. That was one of the things, right from the first moments we started rehearsing, it was something I and we all reminded each other of. Because if you're used to being in a more static position when playing, you can't really translate a musical intention. So we very intentionally said, let's be sure that we have a lot of body movement, and not so much that it was distracting, but enough that you could literally feel when somebody would play a phrase a certain way, if they wanted to lead it, if they wanted to pull back on it. Exactly what they wanted to do had to also be translated physically.
Wow. So you took what could be seen as a liability and turned it into something you can add to your performance or just think about and grow with.
That is exactly correct. And that is, again, because I am an optimist by nature. I'm always trying to see what the opportunities are in something to grow as individuals, to grow as a collective. And then most importantly, how do we give that knowledge and that gift to the listeners and the viewers in this case?
It's been wonderful to talk to you, Jens Lindemann, and Shannon Akins, Executive Director of the Brass Band of Battle Creek. The concert goes live tomorrow at 7 p.m. on YouTube on the Brass Band of Battle Creek's page. Could we finish up by giving away, I know surprise is an important thing, but giving away some of the musical arrangements that might be worth tuning in for?
I'm sorry, what was the last part of the question you just cut out? I apologize.
Oh, I was asking, could we end with some teasers of the musical arrangements that we can look forward to tomorrow?
Oh, you want teasers. I see how this is going. First of all, what you have to understand about the Brass Band of Battle Creek and the history of brass instruments to begin with is that we don't have one style only. We have literally been involved in everything from Renaissance and Baroque music to the Romantic era of symphony to jazz music to pop, rock and roll. Brass is everything. And one of the things that makes Brass Band of Battle Creek literally, and I'm not even exaggerating this, the most famous brass band in the world is because of the fact that we can switch gears stylistically so authentically, and that's why it really has that kind of an international reputation. As such, even this reduced version of the band is going to cover a gamut of things from Wolfgang Mozart. Leopold was his father. I was biased. Leopold wrote a concerto for trumpet, okay?
That's
but
right.
Wolfgang wrote nothing for us. However, it is a great French horn feature.
Leopold.
Anyway. It's true. Okay, you look it up. Go to the Google. Leopold Mozart, father of Wolfgang. Anyway, let's get on to the music. And from, we're also going to cover Latin styles from Astor Piazzolla, the king of tango. We have a lot of jazz that we're going to be playing from Duke Ellington in particular. And we have some pop styles that we're doing. And then we have the pièce de résistance. Well, there's two things in particular. One is Terry Lauer's spectacular version of It Don't Mean a Thing. And then we're going to do a version of Cumbanchero, which you've never heard before. This is going to be Wycliffe Gordon doing things that have never, ever been heard in history. It's that kind of energy and enthusiasm. So it covers a real gamut of styles.
That's great. That's a ton of reasons to tune in tomorrow at 7 o'clock on YouTube to the Brass Band of Battle Creek channel. You can also find a link at bbbc.net. Final thoughts from you, Shannon Akins, as executive director, about tomorrow's concert release.
I hope people will join in. And I know if you've ever experienced a Brass Band of Battle Creek concert before, you will feel that same love coming from the stage that we typically see at our concerts. There is this sparkly magic, as I call it, that happens between the musicians themselves and then comes right out to the audience and right back. And despite the fact that we did not have an audience, obviously during this recording, I have to say that you are going to feel that same kind of love and camaraderie and magic from this performance.
Anything from you at the end of our conversation, Jens?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you not only for hosting us this morning and letting us talk a little bit about the magic that we tried to create last week, but also my incredible fondness and our, as an ensemble, our fondness for Battle Creek and Michigan in particular. We come back for a reason. You mentioned at the beginning that I'm a soloist by career. This is the only band I play with. The only band I play with anywhere in the world, and it's because there is such a sense of family and community, and that is not a line, that is the truth, and that's why we are compelled to come back. You've created something very, very magical, which can and should be created in other places around the world. But fortunately, the Brass Band of Battle Creek has cornered the market on how it's done, and it's a really wonderful role model to be part of.
Thank you, Jens and Shannon, and the concert again is at 7 o'clock on YouTube tomorrow at bbbc.net or the YouTube channel. It's called Joyous Noise, a concert for our times. And I'm going to end up here with a track arranged by Wycliffe Gordon of W.C. Handy's St. Louis Blues. It's on the BBC recording from MSR Classics called Music for Battle Creek. And we look forward to tomorrow night's concert. Thank you so much for talking about it today.
Thank you so much
for having us. Thank you.